We are live. Lunch with Yanita and somebody called Frank. We won't go into any further detail. 24th of July, 2025. Yanita, it's your show. Let's go.
Okay. So first of all, welcome, everyone. I hope you brought your stories and rituals to share with us today. So we are going to talk about stories and rituals. Like, every family and community has its own way of passing down what truly matters, like traditions or things that we do. So whether it's through bedtime stories, festive rituals, or maybe just a quiet tea with the family, or a wild holiday. So they are more than just habits. And this is how we show love and teach lessons and also shape our identities. So when I think back to what my parents taught me, there's still things that I'm trying to teach my husband and my son. But of course, they have their own things.
We have 40 minutes to learn from you on that subject.
Yes.
It doesn't work. The time is fine. The time is, I can try, but.
Well, we are neither your husband nor your son, so I think there might actually be some hope.
Maybe.
Perhaps we could give you some advice on how to be more effective at it.
I've been contemplating using a hammer, maybe a shoe, I don't know, to knock.
Incentives work better than. Carrots work better than sticks.
Okay, that's good advice.
So somebody said.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So first, don't use my advice and use shoes and hammers. But how do you pass down values or traditions to the next generation? And why? What feels important to you? What do you want to teach them? How do you pass it down to the younger generation? What did you teach your kids or your wife or your husband or niece, nephew?
Moving swiftly on.
No. That's like the main question out of all of them. So any kind, like, what are traditions that you cherish? Things that you enjoy, like Christmas or Easter or movie nights with the family.
You want to pick a victim?
Let's start with Monica because she laughed.
It's like teachers. If you don't volunteer, they'll volunteer you. Yes. I think Christmas. Christmas on Christmas Eve, which is really nice being half German, but it sort of clashes with my birthday. So I suggested a couple of years ago to my daughter that we should celebrate Christmas on Christmas Day, like the Australians do when we're at home. But she didn't like that idea, but her partner's birthday is Christmas Day. But I just really like Christmas on Christmas Eve. But when I'm in Germany, my darling cousin makes sure we separate it. Like, several times she's stayed up till midnight on the 23rd. But last year she organised brunch at 11 a.m, a really beautiful lunch or brunch for all of us, so that it was separate from Christmas, which is really nice because when you've got a birthday on Christmas Eve, it's sort of a bit unfair sometimes. I'm sure the only reason I was born by cesarean on Christmas Eve was that so the doctor wouldn't miss his Christmas lunch. That's my story. I've got lots of friends with birthdays on the 23rd. But, yeah, I just really like Christmas on that, and it's sort of, you know, when we're here we do it, and I just sort of have it as a combined birthday and Christmas, and accept the fact that, you know, they're on the same diet time. But no, that's all right. But yeah, I just really like Christmas. My late dad was a Christmas person, as Frank remembers, where he used to go and get Christmas trees. There was a Christmas tree farm in the hills, and got one for like Frank's family, and there was a German baker in the hills. And yeah, dad was like a kid at Christmas. And so I've sort of carried on that tradition. I put up a Christmas tree a few months ago and I'd spent, Frank's a witness, I bought lots of Christmas things while I was in Europe last year, and now I have got a permanent Christmas room that is decorated.
Wow.
You've heard of Christmas in July?
Please, yes, yes.
This is Christmas I told Frank. So the end room, which was my daughter's childhood room, now she doesn't go there, but it's a permanent Christmas. It's a shrine to, well, it was like Christmas decorations and things I'd bought in Europe last year. So, yeah, this year I don't need to buy anything at the Christmas markets.
But I'm going famous to... last words.
Until you get to the markets and you see more beautiful, nice things.
But, yeah, there's a permanent Christmas tree there. So, yes, Christmas is a special time for me and, yeah, it's got nice memories.
Just a quick question in your Christmas room, Monica. Do you have Christmas music permanently on?
No. I'm not a great one for Christmas carols, but
Well, I mean, there's Michael Bublé's Christmas album, which runs nonstop in this household. It starts on the 1st of December and doesn't finish until the 6th of January. So you could put that on there. It's not Christmas.
Oh, we saw him last year, but
I'm happy for you. But if you sort of have him, have that Christmas CD from Michael Bublé sort of
on loop, like continually.
On loop, I'm sure it'll do your relationship to John a world of good.
I have a better idea. In my house, so he's spared from it, you know. But I love Christmas.
Well, hang on, Fruit Loop has a better idea. I'm curious to hear what she's going to come up with.
So first of all, this recording is not going to see the light of day in my household because that might just give my husband and my son ideas to have a permanent Christmas tree. yes, we won't expand on that. But Spotify has some very nice Christmas playlists. So instead of listening to Michael Bublé all the time, you might listen to some of the other things. My mom had a Boney M. CD, Boney M. Christmas Carols, yes. And that was on continuous replay all the time. Boney M.'s, yes.
Boney M. Christmas, my goodness.
Yes. It was a blue cover with... snowflakes on it, and then Boney M. the group in front.
My goodness, I've got to research this. Okay, thank you for giving me something. Not that I have enough to do. I'm getting through my to-do list here.
And Spotify has some nice playlists for Christmas carols, Christmas songs.
Okay, well, come
Mariah Carey included.
Come December, you'll be sharing them to all and sundry. I imagine.
I will.
I cannot wait.
Disney also has Christmas carols.
Well, that's because they can make money from it.
Yes, my son likes to listen to that. Okay, Rosie, tell us about your favorite tradition. Which one is important, and how would you carry it on to the next generation? How would you teach them?
Okay, I don't know if I really got the question, but I think so. Here in Brazil, we have a party called Festa Junina, Junina Party, and I love Christmas too, of course. But this party is really, really nice because you can celebrate in June, July, or August. And this party, you need to use not fantasy. You need to use
costume.
Oh my God. Yes, costumes, and there are a lot of food, different kinds of food, candies, sweet, too hot drink, one called vinho quente, like hot wine. It's really hot wine with apple, some fruits. And the other is, I don't know in English, but quentão. I don't like quentão because quentão, it's a drink prepared with alcoholic, with alcoholic drink,
mm-hmm.
With some gengibre.
Gingibi, ginger.
Yes.
Ginger. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really hot because this party happens in the cold weather, and it's good because it's very hot. And what else? Ah, and you can dance. Oh, this part's really, really nice. You can dance with the traditional song, and everybody celebrates this party at school, at school, in the company. This year we had in my job, it's really, really nice. What else? At home, in the company, at school. So it's really, really nice.
Okay. Very interesting. Do you go to these parties every year?
Yes, every year. When I was at school, we celebrated at school too. And at my job, it's really interesting because everyone takes someone prepares all the oh my God, the party. And I have some photos from my job. It was really, really nice. I can send to Frank, and Frank can send you to know about that. At my sister little firm, every year.
Farm.
Yes, farm. Mm. And yes, every year I go at my sister farm, at school, at the job. So it's really, really nice, this party.
So does the costumes look the same as the costumes they would wear for the festival in Brazil?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that are in oh my God, how can I say this in English? I didn't know the word. In a big space, and with some singers. And but this is a big party, and some of them you need to pay for this, but it's really, really nice. I think that's it.
Okay. Okay. Very good. And let's move on. Yes,
a quick bonjour to Natalie and Claire.
Hello.
Sorry, we have a problem of connection.
It's okay. Good to see you. It's good to see you.
Yes. We are going to move to the beach and ask Bruce about a tradition that he would like to pass down. Okay, values, traditions, anything that you pass down to the next generation. And what are the traditions that you cherish?
That's a very difficult question without going into far too much obscure detail. But just to start with, I was born in during the German occupation of the Channel Islands. And so early on, there was a the pressures were very much on survival. I don't think I learned very much at school, and or probably at university. But then I went into, ended up in the university teaching after 20 years in industry and finance. Now, one thing I put together, and I would recommend it for all sorts of people in my situation or even in anybody's situation, is to put down on one or two sides of a piece of paper, what have I really learned? I think it should be a compulsory requirement for everybody before they get a pension, that they should be required to put that together, and it should be submitted to some central organization that then tries to pass it on to the next generation. Because by sort of coincidence, in the run-up to the millennium, I mean, I was involved in strategy, and so knowledge management was an interesting subject, important subject. But in the run-up to the millennium, when everybody was looking at what was going to happen in the future, I asked the question, what have we learned from the past that's important to pass on to the future? And I then put together, and I think it's on the internet somewhere, 1,000 messages for the new millennium. And it was really trying to focus on the role and importance of wisdom, which I came to late in life, partly because I did a lot of traveling and came across these issues, and it linked in with what I was doing from work. But I think that to try to look at the role and importance of wisdom is an incredibly valuable exercise for everybody. Just to give one example, which sometimes is very valuable for both parents. I'm not a parent that I know of. or for management, is that nobody really takes much notice of what you say until they feel you care, which I think is a very important parental point and a very important managerial point. And of course, it's the lack of it is causing enormous trouble in all sorts of areas. But that's really about as far as I would go to start with. If anybody wants any more details, happy to go off onto all sorts of tangents. But that's, I think that what have I really learned is, again, I put it on, I think I got Notebook LM to discuss it and to put it onto my LinkedIn site.
Bruce, I'm going to let you go off on tangents, not now. are you generally available on a Friday, 9 a.m. UK time?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Generally,
sometimes. Okay.
Yeah.
I think there are two people who will approach you to book some free slots to allow you to go off in tangents. Do you know how to peel a potato? we'll teach you how to peel a potato if you give us some ideas on wisdom. That's the deal.
I think there's a machine that does it.
Okay. Well.
I'm a great believer in outsourcing.
In outsourcing. Okay. Well, we've got two expert potato peelers here, and in seriousness, Bruce, Janita and I run this podcast on a Friday.
A lot of people do things like that as therapy. And I can understand that. And some people do it as an art form.
Well, there's the
but I don't know that I would eat the potato after I've been messing about with it.
Well, potato peeling as a therapy. That's a new one. We have to explore that. Okay, Bruce. In all seriousness, I certainly for one, and I think I can half speak for Janita.
Why half speak? I agree.
Well, I'm just being diplomatic here. Bruce, we would like you to share your thoughts on various subjects with us on a Friday morning, as and when. I'll send you an email to that. But
probably not this Friday.
No.
We'll let you know in advance.
Okay.
Got some domestic decoration going on this Friday.
Oh, dear. Okay. All right. But thank you for that. We'll get to you, Bruce. Yeah.
Bruce, I have one last question for you. Do you think wisdom comes with age or with experience?
Ooh.
Well, first of all, experience comes with age.
Okay.
And I try to avoid, and I think this is a statement of wisdom, it's very easy to recycle wisdom. It's very hard to be wise practice. Putting it into practice.
Okay.
But I wouldn't, I don't like absolute statements like that.
Okay.
Some wisdom can come from age and experience. But it's actually very enlightening and surprising how young children can appear to be wise.
Yes.
And then, of course, they lose it when they go to teenagers. But
yes,
thanks to the confusion that society puts on them.
Yes,
makes it harder.
Okay, very good. All right, then we'll move to Natalie and Clea. So the question is, how do you pass down values and traditions to the next generation? Okay, so what feels important to you? What do you want to teach the next generation? And you can talk about the traditions that you cherish. Any kind of traditions like Christmas or Easter or how to celebrate a birthday or maybe an important day.
Yeah, it's very funny because you are here, the mother and the daughter.
Yes.
So I think it's only in one sense and not in the other sense. But yes, I was thinking about all the traditional celebration, religious celebration. But I think more specially, what I try to pass down to the new generation, it's more a healthy lifestyle, because the millennium, as I think, only the connection, they are only connected with the screen.
Gen Z.
And
Gen Z.
Gen Z. Thank you, Clea.
Gen Z. Yeah, Gen Z. Gen Z. Not millennium, but Gen Z, okay? And I think it's difficult today, but we try to transfer to the new generation to have a healthy lifestyle, to wake up early in the morning, just simple thing. Or to have a regular rhythm of life. And it's the basic, but this is really important today, I think, with the new generation. And to take care about them, to do sport, not only for the physical, to be well physically, but also to be well mentally. Mentally? Yeah, I think it's very important because we heard a lot of problems today with the new generation. So that's why what I am
Want to teach or want to leave
That's
behind?
what I try to do with my
Yes.
daughter. And secondly, I have another remember with my mother family when I was young. It was like a small ritual that we have when we were all around the table for a meal. For example, my grandfather was artist painter, and he creates not a song, but a clan cry, like the All Black, you know, the All Black with
a flag.
The haka, yeah?
Like the haka, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It was sound and gestures, and we do it all together around with my grandfathers.
That's
and
fun.
yeah, it was very funny, but it was something that creates a cohesion.
Bound.
It's strengthens lines and creates cohesion. Yes,
nice.
And belonging to a group, a family, or a community. That's really creates something very strong between the members, and it was funny. Yes.
Oh, that. Oh, thank you for that idea, Natalie.
I'm not dancing. I'll sing, even if it's bad, but I'm not dancing.
Well, we have choir practice tomorrow, so we can start with that.
Okay. Okay. So, Clea, what have you learned? What have you learned from your mom about traditions and what is important?
I think the importance of sport. So I try every 2 days to like do a little bit of exercise, or either like Pilates, yoga, or just walking, fast walking. Yes. And having a healthy lifestyle, which is not very common in my generation. I think they're.
Yes.
Yeah.
If I see all the delicious desserts and food you share on Instagram, I'm taking a guess how that is going.
No, I'm healthy. Yeah.
Okay. But I also know that you walk a lot. Okay. Frank, what about you?
It is emotionally a very difficult question.
Yes.
Not for the reasons you might actually think, but it is truly emotionally a very difficult question, because traditions and values, etc., at least from where I'm coming from, are dependent on a sense of having a home and having roots.
Yes.
And that is something I do not have. Yeah.
Okay.
Just to put this into context, I have lived in this house since 2011. It is the longest I have ever spent living on one or in one property or on one property. Yeah. I've lived in France for 20 years. I have never lived in any one country longer than this. So from a geographic point of view, as you and I have sort of on and off talked, I have German nationality. I do not know what it means.
Yes.
Yet when I hear Bruce say he grew up in, or he was born during the German occupation of Jersey or the Channel Islands, I have been educated to...
Guernsey, not Jersey, Frank.
Sorry, Bruce. Yes, Guernsey. I have been educated to momentarily reflect on my country's younger history. and the values that come out that I'll talk to you in a minute. I have a daughter. I was never able to pass on anything to her for most of her life. It is a very, very moot point in my life. It's something I'm not proud of, but it happened. So this sense of belonging and sort of homeless, and so that completely and utterly eludes me. I was very privileged in, as a child, doing an enormous amount of traveling, and that is the value that I try and pass on in my life. The broad-mindedness, the fact that people from different backgrounds can meet and sit together like we are doing here and have a sensible discussion. That is the best it gets in my life. Yeah, because there's a lot of things that I just cannot do. And that's when, you know, that's when I look at, you know, Bruce, born at the time he was, in the situation that he was. There's one part of me who says, okay, there is this Germanness somewhere in me, but I am very, very, very happy that he and I can sit in the same virtual room and not forget history. And that tags on to what he was, you know, saying, what have we learned? And I'm on one page with Bruce. History is not being taught enough anymore. So that we can sit in this room and have a decent discussion. One day when I come to London, I don't know if you're a person who goes to a pub, but I think in the English tradition, having a pint of beer with you or something social with you one day when I get to London would be an honor. Yeah. And this is it, you know, the meeting of humans, despite their nationalities, the histories and the backgrounds. That is the value I try and pass on through whatever it is I do and how I live. Yeah. Because it masks a lot of pain that I have in my personal life. Yeah. Which I cannot change. It's what it is. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Fruit Loop. we've all confessed.
Now it's my turn. So I just want to mention something to Monica. I think I mentioned this also before, but when we celebrate Christmas, it's usually a week or 2 weeks ahead of Christmas. because it depends on my sister's work schedule, on my work schedule, and then how to get the boyfriend and the husband and the son, everyone together, including my parents. So we choose a day, a Saturday or a Sunday, when we are all available, and then we get together to celebrate Christmas. We never celebrate Christmas on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. So we meet each other. We come together, we celebrate Christmas as a big family, and then we all kind of go our separate ways, because sometimes my parents will go to visit my grandparents for Christmas, or my sister and her boyfriend would go to Cape Town, or they will go someplace on holiday, and then we are usually left behind to work. But we always make time to get together, even if it's not the 23rd or the 24th or the 25th. We do it ahead of time. So we have the Christmas lunch, we open presents, we listen to the Christmas music, we have the Christmas trees, but we do it ahead of time. So there's an idea if you don't want to celebrate your birthday and Christmas together. You can choose which one you want to move. You're on mute.
No, I did that this year, actually, because this year's the big milestone birthday. So I celebrated it about a month ago. I went somewhere nice and warm, which looked a bit like where Bruce is. And because I thought, so start celebrating 6 months earlier. So I, yeah, this year I did that.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, hang on,
a whole 6 months, not even maybe 6 days.
No. The more important is start celebrating. So it's going to be a rolling festival until the big day, yes?
Well, yeah, we'll see. But, yeah, no, it was nice and warm, and it won't be warm when I celebrate my actual birthday.
Yes.
And well, even no. With global warming.
Wait and see.
So that is something that my grandparents taught me, something my parents taught me, something that I'm trying to teach my husband and my son, that family time and spending time together as a family is very important.
Mm.
So yes, we spend time together on weekends watching movies or going to the zoo or wherever, whatever we do, even if we just lounge around in the living room. But spending time together as a family is something that was taught to me, something that I learned, something that I cherish. So for me, it's not about the traditions like celebrating Christmas or Easter or birthdays, but just to be together as a family or to come together as a family, even if it's not on the same day. So we would do the same with birthdays. If it's I think it was last year or the year, I think the year before, my father turned 60 and his birthday was in the middle of the week. But the weekend before, on the Saturday, we all got together and we got him a birthday cake and we took him on a game drive in our area. But we went to a place that has lions and tigers and other kind of wild animals. And we took him there and he had a lot of fun because he didn't expect anything. We decorated a table and we had a barbecue and we all made salads and snacks and everything. So we tried to make it special because he's not someone who likes to go out someplace to celebrate. He would rather be at home with his family. And that is why it's so important for me to also spend time as a family together.
And having meals together as a family.
Having meals together, well, 6-hour meals.
No. It doesn't have to be that extreme, but just, just sitting down at least for one meal a day, if it's, depending how families operate, but you at least have a lunch together or dinner together. Yeah.
Yes.
It really, really helps. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Even if I look at like our work schedules are quite chaotic, like, but some evenings we don't sit together and eat. So I will cook dinner, eat quickly, and then I have some classes to attend. And then Jean will exercise first, and then he will shower, and then he will eat. And in between, Aiden will eat. So, but days like today and tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday, then we will sit together and we will eat. Mm. But the other times, it's every man for himself. Eat or be eaten.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to ask one silly question. What is a phrase or a saying from your family that sounded silly as a kid, but now it feels wise? I have one.
Me too.
My mom used to say, "Van lekker lach kom lekker huil." So it means if you laugh a lot, you will cry a lot. And that is so true.
Wow.
Yes. Especially if you are being silly. No, you are going to laugh and you are going to have fun. Eventually, you are going to fall and get hurt. So that is very true for me now. I've seen it. I have firsthand experience. Monica?
Oh, just one that reminds me of my late father, who was German. His painter, my dad was a builder, his painter, who I think Frank might know, Bob Gruber, he was Austrian. And he'd ring up, this is before mobile phones, and he said, "Was ist los?" which is what's literally, you know, what's up, what's happening. But it's also mean, you know, what's loose. So it doesn't translate really well into English. But, you know, my dad would reply, everything that's not tight, tightened, or, you know, everything's not tied down sort of thing. But it's sort of got a double meaning. But it just reminds me of when my dad would be on the phone and, you know, Uncle Bob, who was with us till a couple of years ago. But, you know, Vas is lost and alles was nicht fest ist, everything that's, yeah, it's just my memory of my dad. And it's sort of amusing because of the way it could be interpreted two ways or translated two ways.
Yes.
Yeah, just memory of my dad from when I was a kid.
Okay. What's loose?
Oh, yeah,
imagine,
yeah.
Imagine if we change WhatsApp's name to What's Loose. Rosie, what is a saying or a phrase from your family that might sound silly, but now it feels wise?
The same as you. when you love a lot, you can cry too. Because yes, and I have a sister-in-law. She's really, really, really nice. And when she is with us, she all the time she's funny. She's nice, and I start to laugh, and then oh, yes, I think this.
Okay. Bruce, what is a phrase or saying from your family?
Well, I was just thinking that I can't think of any really, but a couple of thoughts come to mind. One is that we learn a lot. We learn about emotions from our parents and wisdom from our grandparents, one saying goes. I didn't really have much contact with my grandparents, except, and he never said this, but he did it. And my grandfather, who was my mother's side, who was a sea captain and had all sorts of extraordinary experiences in the Far East in the early part of the 20th century, came to terms with retirement. And the thing that he was very enthusiastic about was his roses. So he never said that to me, but spend more time smelling the roses is a very interesting demonstrative effect.
Yes.
And the other thing I would say is it's very difficult to teach anybody anything. All you can do is to help them learn things more effectively. So teaching tends to be something that you try to impose upon other people, whereas if you want them to learn anything, you have to start from where they are.
Yep.
I don't think my parents had much time to do that. And if it has happened to me, it's happened by coincidence later on.
Okay.
And I suppose another comment I got from later on was, don't take yourself so seriously.
Yes.
Well, fully concur with that one, Bruce.
I don't think it's a bit of advice that I've taken much notice of, actually.
Okay. Natalie, what about you? Do you have a silly phrase or saying that you heard from your family, but now it's wise?
Yes, when I was young for a long time, I heard often from my mother and my father even the same sentence. And for my mother, it was strike while the iron is hot. Okay. Yes. And my father told me, like every day, what's down is down no more. So I think the both, what's down is down. I think the both are the same thing. The goal is the same. No procrastination. Do things as soon as they arise, and before you become overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. And
overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed. Overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And find yourself in a uncomfortable situation. So take the advance and do the thing when you can do it. No procrastination, no wait to do it. My mother, I had another sentence. I don't know if it's in link with her astrologic sign. She was a bull.
No,
Taureau. So
Aries.
Taurus, April, May, yeah?
Taurus, yes.
Oh, Taurus, yeah.
But Taurus, the astrologer.
We are the best.
Okay. So she always said, you have to crab the Taurus by the horns.
You have to grab the bull by the horns.
Yeah, you have to crab the Taurus by the horns. So to be faced the difficulties and don't run away from it. So take the difficulty on your arms and do what you have to do and not escape.
Mm-hmm.
In front of the difficulty. And now, with the experience, these sentences sound inside of me, and they are really true, and that helped me every day. When I do everything, I think about these sentences, and yes, it's important to have it inside of us. That's
good. Clea, what is a silly phrase that now feels wise?
I think it is. It's better to laugh about it than cry about it. It's a French expression in English, you see. But yes. And it's all about putting things in a different perspective, like serious things. And sometimes it is better to laugh about it than take it too seriously. So, yeah.
Yes.
Even laugh about yourself, about your own, like, default or... I have issues to whatever it is. Yeah, sometimes.
Yes. Okay. Frank, what is your phrase that sounded silly?
it wasn't a silly phrase. It was actually, and this is going to be music to Bruce's ears. It was something that I hated. I absolutely loathed.
Yes.
We have several strands which we can combine. So we talked about family time and spending time together at the dinner table or at a lunch table or something like that. And Bruce's comment before you collect your pension, you should write a document about what have I really earned. Okay.
Yes.
I lived through both in childhood because we would eat together We would have dinner together. And for 80% of the time, my father would ask me, my father, who was born in northeastern Germany, so he's of Prussian descent, very, very strict, very authoritarian. He would order me to tell my parents what I had learned at school that day. And I don't know whether other topics sometimes came and dominated the conversation, or my father was gently reminded by my mother to let off a little bit of the pressure. But there were sort of paradise evenings, holidays, when the question wasn't asked. And I gave this huge sigh of relief to myself. And my famously overthinking, overcomplicating brain would shift certain subjects from one day to the next so that I could mix and mash and create the answer that my parents wanted to hear, even if it wasn't quite 100% the truth, or it was slightly distorted or repackaged.
Not on the same day.
Not on the same day.
You learned it on Monday, but remember on Friday.
Exactly. Yeah. Or maybe I would start filtering information and say, okay, this nugget of what I have learned or what was dealt with, I should keep for that particular day.
Bad mood.
And maybe it was the root cause of being maybe too analytical or overcomplicating or thinking too much, because you actually as a kid, and you don't even know this, you start filtering information and you start delegating facts in a certain direction because you have to be prepared for this torture that was dinner. Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember what happened during school holidays, who suffered more, my father or me, because during the summer holidays, December, January, he couldn't ask the question because his one and only child did not go to school. Rock horror. But he compensated by giving me exercises at home to, I think I was told to read Huckleberry Finn or something like that.
Goodness, yeah.
I had to do some reading. So my education was not uninterrupted during school holidays. Yeah. It wasn't a silly phrase or something like that. It was torture for for a kid. It was torture. And his attitude, just to wrap this up because we have to go, his attitude, when I had my first serious girlfriend, I was at home under curfew, so I had to be home at a certain time. And, as these things happen with first serious girlfriends and life and so on, I came home a little later than my curfew. And I thought I got away with it. I did not. And my father let loose a statement. I was 20, 21 at the time, still living at home, but that's a different story. My father let loose the statement to which I will never forget this to the day. He said, "Democracy has no place in the family."
Wow.
As long as you are under my roof,
you will do what I say. Don't do what I do. You do what I say.
What I say, exactly. Right.
Which is exactly what doesn't have a good effect.
Exactly. It's pedagogically a total disaster, yeah?
But, Janita, probably a question for the future might be, when did you first learn to lie and why?
Oh, wow.
Oh.
But another, just very quickly, Frank, you made the comment about we don't spend enough time learning studying history. We've got a massive number of history departments in Britain.
Mm.
The trouble is they don't focus on what can we learn from history.
Yep.
They focus on getting, I don't know, kicks out of indulgences yes. in history.
Yes.
Not what can we learn for the future.
Mm.
That's the terrible mistake that they make, mm. a lot of them.
Yeah. Bruce, as you probably are aware, I was educated in Australia, and the Australian education system has proven to be highly, highly effective. I have noticed this in later life, and comparing it to the German education system, which I had to endure, and the French education system, which I've had to observe. Yeah. So the Australian education system was actually top. It was ahead of its time. We'll go into that later. We need to.
It's great to find, and that happens a bit in Brazil too, because both countries don't have enough history to get obsessed with their history. They're much more interested in the future.
Mm, exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, Janita, thank you very much for a very, very interesting topic.
Yes.
I'm actually glad we've got a full house, so I can actually do my usual finish. So Rosie in Sao Paulo, Bill in, not Bill, Bruce in London, sorry. Leah and Natalie, this time in France, not in South Korea. Monica representing the furthest point of the breeder community in Adelaide, Australia. Janita in probably a warmer winter's day than our summer here in Northern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed yourselves. Janita, you have the final word before I press the stop record button.
Okay. So thank you, everyone, for sharing your, let's say, past, whether it's past of or part of your childhood and things that you learned and discovered as we grow older and as we go on. So thank you very much for that. Have a lovely day. Enjoy your Christmas, Monica. Listen to Michael Bublé on repeat. For everyone else, have a lovely day and we'll see you next time.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye. Bye-bye.